It's worth remembering, folks, that before Senator Ted Cruz became something like the Darth Vader of Republican politics, he was a champion of the GOP breaking free of its traditional constituency and going after that famous 47% that presidential candidate Mitt Romney talked about during the 2012 campaign. Cruz said almost a year ago on The Takeaway that people who depend on government, in fact, in his view, are a natural for the GOP.
And in my view, Republicans, every day, we should champion the 47%, those climbing the economic ladder, because it is reaching the American dream. It is the opportunity to do so that has made America strong.
But in reality, can Republicans really champion the 47%? Here's a stat. On a list of the U.S.'s largest cities, you have to go down to number 13, Indianapolis, before you find the first Republican mayor. Most mayors in the United States, overwhelmingly, are Democrat. Republican Mayor Scott Smith of Mesa, Arizona, joins us now. He's president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Mayor Smith, welcome.
Hello.
What do you make of that statistic? You got some work to do there in the city halls of America.
Well, Republicans do have some work to do because I think on a national level, the organization, even at the state level, Republicans have forgotten cities. Whether they've written them off or whether that is the changing demographics and the urbanization of America has hurt Republicans, I don't know. All I know is that as a Republican mayor of a fairly large city, Mesa's the 38th largest city, we often feel sort of alone as Republican mayors.
Interesting. Also with us is Sarah Bird Sharps, who's co-director of Measure of America. Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
What are the numbers in American cities that really tell the tale of why the Democrats seem to have this constituency sort of locked up?
Well, first of all, just to look at what's happened in cities recently, cities in the U.S. are thriving and growing. They're actually growing faster than the suburbs for the first time in about 90 years, which is an incredible statistic. They're also becoming younger. They have less crime than they have for 20 years. And more than half of America's cities are now majority non-white. So that's an important statistic as well.
And it would seem, according to Ted Cruz, that, you know, these folks climbing the economic ladder would be a natural constituency of the GOP. Mayor Smith, why hasn't that message been articulated since the 2012 election?
Well, I think when you look at a Republican mayor, and whether it's in a central city or a suburb, and in many metro areas, that distinction has become more and more blurred because we're more metro areas, megapolitan areas than we are. Within there is a very stark divide between the central city and the suburbs. I think Republicans don't really go to their strengths. Republican mayors in large metro areas do well. They govern in a way that has a message that does appeal to the broad-based political spectrum. It's just that the party seems to have a different message than oftentimes the Republican mayors govern from. Same principles, but the emphasis is different very often.
And here in New York City, two Republican mayors, Michael Bloomberg and preceded by Rudy Giuliani, really changed the way in which mayoral politics was conducted here, but we're about to go back probably to a Democratic mayor here in New York City. Is this a moving target, Sarah Bird Sharps, in the sense that there are changes going on in the cities that could make this more of an opportunity for the right-messaged Republican, say, a Chris Christie?
I think the thing that we don't talk enough about is that we in urban areas live in a pretty crowded life, right? So people living in urban areas are more likely to see a role for and welcome a government that's taking care of things like collecting our garbage, even making the subways and the trains run on time, even making sure our elevators are inspected, right? So that there's no our cranes are inspected so that there's no damage. And so a party that is talking about those public services that we depend on every day is more likely to resonate, I think, with people than a party that's talking about cutting those services.
And the Reagan message was run against Washington, and we've really heard that from both parties to a certain extent, but certainly from the Republicans since the 1980s. Was Ronald Reagan wrong, Mayor Scott Smith?
Well, in the 1980s, I don't think he was, and even today, I don't think he was. But the obsession with running only against Washington, I think, has hurt Republicans because, I think one of the secrets that Democrats have found is they have mayors who actually govern like Republicans. There used to be a very stark divide between the messages. Republicans were very tough on crime, efficient government, limited government. And you see that Democratic mayors really govern using that mantra. They govern using those same principles because that's smart government. And when they are governing, like we've seen in many large cities, taking plays out of the Republican playbook, it's awfully hard for Republicans to overcome this obsession with Washington and the social issues.
And on the downside, Democrats sometimes run into trouble because they're in a machine city where Democrats essentially rule, and they can run afoul of patronage, and there's less accountability for Democratic mayors in certain cities. Do you find in places like Chicago and New York, to a certain extent, and other cities around the country, that having a kind of one-party system can be trouble for the mayors as well as an asset politically?
It isn't proven that way so far in a lot of the bigger cities. We've seen New York, after 20 years of basically Republican rule, is going back to Democrats, and the election doesn't appear to be even close. What you also find, though, is that many Democratic mayors are, because the way that they're governing, and especially through this recession, are really in conflict with many of their natural constituencies. You see Democratic mayors going head-to-head with unions because of the financial realities, and you see them stepping up. So it's not only the changing demographics, but it's the way that Democratic mayors have been governing, which really mirrors what a lot of Republican mayors have done. And Republicans just need to do a better job of saying, listen, we can do this better. We have a way of governing that really resonates with cities. And for the reasons that Sarah talked about, the collective nature that cities have, that we have to work as a group, sometimes is at odds with the national anti-Washington Republican message, but it really resonates with the core principles of the Republican Party. That's just a message that Republicans aren't good at getting out.
And I think it really does have to do with specific issues. You know, young people today have choices of where they're going to live. And for cities to compete, to get sort of the best and the brightest, they need to offer the kind of things that attract, you know, today's globalized knowledge workers. Things like good schools, efficient transportation, affordable childcare, places to build community. All those things are critical to you know, really having a thriving city and to being the city that, you know, that knowledge workers want to locate in. And those issues are issues that fall along party lines often.
And if special interests in cities don't complicate matters, those services really produce a natural constituency for whoever manages to deliver them, Republican or Democrat. Sarah Bird Sharps, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Bird Sharps is co-director of Measure of America, a nonpartisan social science research council. And Mayor Scott Smith, thanks to you.
Thank you, John.
Mayor Smith is the Republican mayor of Mesa, Arizona, and president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.